Right, but I guess what I'm saying, can the NES, if she doesn't think that's the correct interpretation, just do something different?
I don't know. It would depend, I guess. But can we go on and get a report from WPFW?
I'm sorry.
Campbell and Renee?
Okay, one thing.
Whatever else you haven't already said, I guess.
The only thing I would say, this is Renee Bowser, is that I strongly think we have an older population at WPFW, and I just don't really think that some of the people that really, particularly that sustain the weekend programming, I really don't think we should have an opt-in as opposed to opt-out. And I thought we had all decided that it was supposed to be opt-out this campaign season.
We did.
Pardon me?
We did. You're exactly right. We did vote that way.
That's my question. That was my question before. How can an election supervisor change what was decided? Because you're independent. Just because I work for a union. We could get an independent contractor that's independent to do something, but they can't change the UFCW union constitution. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense to me. I need an explanation here because we have an older population in our station. We're trying to reach out and get more younger people, but, you know, everybody doesn't have a computer in all this. I think you're going to do damage to getting the quorum by having an opt-in, and besides that, if we agreed that it was supposed to be opt-out, how can, because you say you're independent, you can just ignore what we said? I just don't get it. That's my comment.
The secretary speaks here, just to interrupt. This is the next thing on the agenda.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Station reports.
Okay, yeah, Campbell, did you want to report any other issues?
Yes. Concern also has been raised very strongly about the composition of the election, the local election committee, and that, if it consists of persons who have vested interests, who are candidates, a lot of, the processes or intentions, we have to be clear on what the intentions are of this particular committee. I think that our concern about it, or at least I recall last election, concern was raised about it because there was the local election supervisor and national election supervisor in that election totally ignored concerns that were raised by persons in the committee, and we would get a number of people together to address those and, in fact, would raise them with the LSB, and the LSB endorsed these particular concerns. However, this time around, I think that there needs to be some clear examination about what the purpose of the committees would be and what the engagement would be. I'd like to ask one of our candidates who's currently a member of the board to perhaps respond on that issue and could give you more comprehensive information. I'll have that person share that information with you directly, Bill, okay?
Okay, and just to remind everybody, the local election committees are specified in the bylaws. They're basically appointed by, I believe, or selected by the LES to help the LES. So read that section of the bylaws, and I don't know if that would help you any or not, but that's the idea. Okay, can we go on with the rest of the agenda, everybody?
Sure.
Thank you for your reports and updates. And again, everyone, if you have problems or suggestions, specific stories helpful, send them to all of the committee. You can send them to our Google group, which is public, and Arlene's on that list, and Renee Asteria is on that list, too.
Hey, Bill?
Yes?
Can I make quick commentary?
This is quick. With WPFW, can I just say one? I just want to say that I didn't have any thing to add, but I'm here. Thanks.
I'm sorry, who was that again?
It's Melinda.
No, but I heard, who was the other person besides Melinda?
Peter Tucker with WPFW.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you, Peter. Okay, Melinda?
I just was very curious because I heard the person mention the idea that they had suggested that they'd sent this to the LSB. Well, as, of course, a person who's been experienced with two different elections as election chair locally at KPFT, and I'm very familiar, having been on this committee for years before. The LSP does not have any vote, really, that matters in reference to these elections. It's always for the supervisors. Because, like, for example, I was a chair with the KPFT LSB, but I always reported directly to the supervisor. I never took on a chair's role, per se, of, you know, chairing like you would any normal committee. I always worked directly under the supervisor. And so I'm just curious about why they voted on it, because I would think that they would have had no bearing whatsoever on it. Because the bylaws don't give them that.
Mr. Chair, I call the agenda.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's a good point. But maybe we can discuss that by email. Is that okay, Melinda, so we can get on with the agenda? Okay. But it was a good point. All right. Next item on the agenda, let's see. Okay, remember, we revised this slightly, so the next item is a motion from Ken Aaron. You want to read your motion, Ken?
Yeah, and I'm going to motivate the motion. The motion is very simple, that this election, we send the campaign booklets to all voters except those who originate a request to not receive them. Such a request will be received by the LES via post, email, or phone. And that's the way it has to be. In the history of the United States, we've had various attempts to prevent people from voting. One of them was called literacy tests. You can't vote unless you pass a literacy test. This is a barrier, a hurdle to voting. If you get the envelope and open it up, and there's the ballot book, and there's the ballots, you can fill it out, and you can mark in the ballot book who you want to be first, second, third, fourth, and erase it and change it around. Having to make another step or go to the computer or send in a letter is an extra step that will cut our responses way down, or at least limit it only to those people who have a devout interest in getting involved. So it's discriminatory against the vast majority of our listeners. It requires not a literacy test, but cyber literacy, people who are friendly with the computer and want to go there. But I challenge anybody on this board or this committee to go to a station's website that's not their station and go look at the candidate statements and figure out how you want to rank people and figure out how you're going to write that down so you can transfer it to a ballot. It's very complex without the booklet. So this was the NES autocratically, with the executive director, decided to ignore the instructions of the national board to provide an option for people to opt out. They decided against that for a supposed savings of $30,000. And they decided that they're going to do opt-in, and they're going to run an internet voting election trial. None of this was mandated by the PNB Elections Committee or the PNB. If we don't stand up and get our paid employees to follow the instructions of the board and the bylaws, we're negligent in our responsibility as board members. This is not a laughing matter, and it's not trivial. It's completely ridiculous. This isn't, if you read the bylaws, the NES is not an autonomous queen or king. The NES is there to supervise the elections and make sure they're fair and honest and that people vote. Not there to decide how the election is run or to invent new ways to run the election. That is not the mandate for the National Election Supervisor. So therefore, I'm putting this motion, and I'll say it again, send campaign booklets to all voters except those who have originated a request not to receive them. Such a request will be received by the LES via post, email, or phone.
Tracy, Alex, Russell, who else? Okay, I'll put myself on the stack. Go ahead, Tracy.
Tracy. Yeah, there's a couple of things here. The first is that obviously the PNB already passed this motion. I'm not sure the election committee passing what the PNB already passed changes anything. You know, the motion was already passed and it's in effect by a body higher than us. The second point is that I'm afraid that the bylaws do say that the National Election Supervisor is supposed to develop internet voting. There's a very specific clause in the bylaws that says that and encourages that development and, in fact, does authorize the election supervisor to do so. I mean, it seems to me that Renee was pretty candid and said that the national office doesn't have the money. Pacifica doesn't have the money. I don't know that there's an answer for, I mean, credit cards only go so far, and suppliers will only give you so much credit. If they don't have the financial resources to mail all the booklets, I'm not sure all the resolutions this committee can possibly pass is going to change that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Alex?
This is Renee Bowser. I'd like to get on the stack.
Okay, got your name.
Okay, yes, I would like to support this motion. It is true, by the way, that the PNB has already passed a very similar motion. I can understand the argument about saving money. However, I think it's short-sighted because lack of campaign material will definitely deteriorate the percentage of voters who reply. And as a result, we may be faced with a lack of quorum at I don't know how many stations. And if that happens, then the costs go up. Are they going to go up over $30,000? Very, very likely, I think. So I think that this is an issue where we're being penny wise and pound foolish. I really don't think this is going to save us money in the long term. It's going to cost us. I would urge the National Elections Supervisor and our Executive Director to rethink this.
Okay, Russell.
Yeah, although I don't agree with Ken's rhetoric about getting paid employees to do things, it sounds very anti-working class. Nonetheless, I support Ken's motion. It's clear that we made a motion on this. I think Alex's points right just now were also on the mark. This is very short-sighted move, and we should absolutely be sending out the candidate statements and the ballot, the booklet with the ballots.
Okay, I'll put myself in the stack, but I'll pass for now. Jay,
can I get in the stack? Well, Mr. Chair, Fred Plunder.
Fred, okay, yeah, go ahead. I got Monage, then Renee, then Fred, and then me.
Yeah,
Monage.
Alex and Russell on this, and I spoke about this, but I think I would like to see an amendment to this. I support the language, but I think the telephone part of it should be taken off, because whoever says that I don't want this should need to be documented. Telephone is very hard to document. It should be a snail mail or email or a handwritten delivered letter and with receipt or something. So whoever says, I don't need it, they have a documentation to show out if there is any problem that they can show down. Thank you.
Okay. Could you clarify what you're referring to? I'm not clear what...
She's referring to it says the NES will be notified by post, email, or phone. And she's saying
exactly.
That phone can't be documented.
Oh, not by phone for that. I see. Okay. All right. Is that all?
Is that it?
Thank you. Renee Bowser?
In making this decision in rejecting what the PNB said, was there any study that compared what you'd save from not sending, doing the opt-in as opposed to how much it might impact the actual response? And therefore require an extension of time in order to get quorum, because when we extend time to get quorum, it's my understanding that's costing money as well. And even apart from rejecting what the foundation said, was there any practical evaluation of those factors?
Well, I'll try to answer. You know, this was discussed at the last meeting, but I don't believe the specifics you mentioned. Renee Siri said that it would save about $30,000 not to mail the candidate booklets to everybody. but I don't believe the specifics you were asking about were talked about. Does anybody else have a correction on that?
That's exactly how much we spend on our American public media, our BBC and This American Live.
Okay, well, let's try to keep this relevant to the election committee. Okay. Okay, well, Renee, did you want to say anything else or ask anything else?
Oh, no, that's it. Because I agree with the comments of the last couple people, and I don't want to need to repeat them.
Okay. Fred?
Yes, thank you. I'm sensitive to Ken Aaron's point. I think, you know, the absence, at the very least, of some explanation from the executive director is unfortunate. I wonder whether it might be possible to call her and maybe defer decision on this for another 10, 15, 20 minutes until we give her the opportunity to explain whether, and if so, why she provided the advice that the NES is telling us that she did provide to proceed with this deviation from what we have asked for and what has been our longstanding practice.
Okay, you're talking about asking Arlene for a response?
Yeah. I'm suggesting that you try to get her on the phone, Mr. Chair, and let us hear from her, and then I would be inclined to enthusiastically support what Ken Aaron is saying.
I tell you what, it's going to be hard for me to do this while I'm chairing the meeting, but if one of the other directors maybe wanted to do that, I wouldn't object. You'd have to fill her in about what we've been talking about, though. We'd probably have to extend time on this issue, too. The other alternative is just asking for her to respond by email.
We have about 23 more minutes, Mr. Chair.
Right, but we have the some additional things on the agenda, which... Mm-hmm. Maybe we won't get to, but...
Well, I meant for this section.
For the whole thing, yeah, for a new business. But there's another new business item, too, on the bylaws amendments. But it's up to the group whether we extend time for this. But let me... Would one of the other directors want to call Arlene and see if she can give us a response?
I'll give her a buzz if you want, Bill.
Alex? Okay.
Yeah.
And update a briefer on what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Anything else, Fred?
No, that'll do it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, I put myself on the stack, too. Let me just mention, I am really concerned about the overall costs and our financial situation. And when the PNB passed the motion and when our elections committee passed this motion last spring, we didn't know what the cost differential was. We were kind of making some wild guesses, I believe, because we didn't really have any estimates for this year. The NES had not been hired, and we didn't have a report from last year. And so I'm glad that I had encouraged Renee to, when she was talking about this, to please find out what the cost differential was and let us know. And she did that preliminary figures a month or two ago, and then she did it again at the last meeting. So I think saving $30,000 is significant. The issue for me is, whether we'll reach quorum. I think she has a solution that will work. Until we see it, there's always the risk that it she might get overwhelmed with requests. But typically, maybe the average, maybe 15% of the members vote. I'm guessing a fairly high percentage. I don't know what percentage of those. We'll be fine with getting the information electronically. And I did ask her a few weeks ago if she could handle, a sudden onslaught of phone requests or email requests or web requests. I'm assuming it probably wouldn't be web requests if people wanted it in writing. And she said she thought she could. She had some additional people in Berkeley who could help with that. Maybe Tracy could clarify that. I don't know who else is available, but...
I don't know the details. Sorry, Bill.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I don't know the details of what she has in mind regarding what people. I can't answer that.
Okay, but anyway, she thought she could handle it, but I guess we won't know for sure until it happens. But the other possibility is that with the ballots going out on time, which I think is a major step forward, on August 16th, there will be time to extend if we need to. So, if there aren't very many ballots coming in, the deadline could be extended. So I'm inclined to go along with her and see how this works and push on promoting, encouraging people to request the printed stuff early if they need it and send it only to people that request it. So I guess I'm opposed to the motion for now anyway.
Mr. Chair, can I be on the stack?
Yeah, Campbell?
I'm up. Okay. Yeah, I just have a couple of concerns. One is that 2 years ago when I got my ballot, it indicated a deadline date that was before the date I received it. And I think that a number of people who probably got their ballots and they saw a deadline date that was prior to the date they received it may have just chucked it in the trash without thinking a second thought about it. So I don't know if the plan is to have the deadline on the envelope, the return envelope, or the outside envelope, but, you know, I think that would undermine your suggestion about extending the deadline. Secondly, I know a number of people, and I hadn't been able to get an answer from our local election supervisor, but a number of people who had signed up in the appropriate time frame but never did receive a ballot at all. And several of those people had called in to indicate they hadn't received a ballot. A few of them got a ballot, but then the return issue was at question. And, you know, I had a couple of folks with whom I'm acquainted had taken the ballots down to the station and, you know, to turn them in because there was no information on insofar as where they should be returned to. You know, I think that in undertaking this sort of thing and looking at contingencies, we need to be very thoughtful about how the process is done so that we don't really shoot ourselves in the foot if the decision is made to extend the time period.
Okay.
But I'm in favor of the motion, though. So.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak on this?
Okay, I want to speak last on the motion. This is Ken.
That's Ken. Okay.
I just want to make a
comment. Let me just see if anybody. Let me see if anybody else wants to go first. Then.
Let's go first.
Anybody else? I'm hoping Alex will be able to get Arlene before we finish talking about this. But
Bill, I just left messages at both of the numbers I have for her.
Okay. So, thank you. All right.
She didn't pick up.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know her availability.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Ken was going to finish up. Did you want to say anything else? Oh, you already spoke on this, didn't you, Alex? Okay. Well, go ahead, Ken.
Okay. In the bylaws, on Section 8, I'm not sure which article, because I have to go up to look, then I'll take too much time finding it again. Okay, there we go. It's paragraph B, distribution of ballots, so you can find it. I'm going to read this sentence. The foundation may, in its discretion, provide a secure means of voting by electronic means via the Internet, provided that, however, that members shall still have the option of returning written ballots by mail. Any such Internet voting shall have a coded system to identify members and to prevent members from casting more than one vote electronically or from voting by both mail and by Internet. So it says the foundation may, in its discretion, provide a secure means of voting by electronic means via the Internet. The NES is specifically not a member of the foundation in any form. It's a contractor. It's very clearly stated. So the NES is not the foundation and not to make decisions for the foundation. The NES is to follow the instructions of the foundation. Now, if the executive director made that decision, that's fine. I feel she should have done it in concordance with the Pacifica National Board. That's a different issue. In regards to the savings of $30,000, I can find five other places in the network where I can save $30,000 very easily. We all know certain stations have been delinquent in following up with their cost-cutting
procedures that were supposed to be implemented as far back as 2009. That takes a little bit of confront because you have to handle personnel. Some people have to be discharged and cut back. Those, that may be more difficult socially. But cutting our outreach to our listeners in voting by making it more difficult for them to vote is self-destructive to the station. This is not good. And one last thing. I did some research on this. In the companies that do electronic voting for private corporations or shareholders, they have stated that there's a 15% fall off when they transfer from manual voting procedures to electronic voting procedures. So use of the Internet causes a fall off in voting return. This is not my opinion. It's the stated fact of the companies that sell this service. They say it takes 3 years to get back up to the same numbers you had when you did your regular fill out the ballot and mail it in. Anything, any step that's put in the way makes it more difficult to vote. And also, you're putting up a barrier. You're requiring people to take extra steps that are not mandated in the bylaws. It doesn't say, and the voters shall call up and decide if they want a candidate booklet. And so those are the points I really wanted to make. And I know you all agree with this. And the last thing is, we just cannot let somebody, the executive director or the NES, override our right to govern, our responsibility to govern how this foundation is run. It's not a decision to be up to the executive director or the national election supervisor to unilaterally change our voting procedure.
Tracy, I realize that Ken asked to speak last specifically, but is there time for her to make an additional comment or not?
Well, hold on just a second. I heard a beep, and it was I think somebody left the call. Did anybody else join us, though?
This is Russell. I accidentally got bumped off the call, and I'm back on.
Okay,
we have
13
more minutes.
We have 13 more minutes? Oh, okay. I thought we were maybe out of 10. All right. Well, go ahead, Tracy. We still have time then, I guess.
Yeah, two things. First, I'd like to get from Ken the specific section of the bylaws that he's quoting, because the one that I see, Section 3, Election of Delegates, says all elections for delegates shall be by written ballot, provided, however, that the election supervisor shall also have the option of providing a secure electronic means of voting via the Internet. And that's not what I heard him say, so I'm just asking if he's quoting that section and misread it, or if he's quoting another section in the bylaws, and if so, where it is. So I'm just asking that. And then the second question or comment relates to the Internet voting statistics. I have read a couple of reports to that effect, because I did do this job once upon a time. And my understanding is that what they're talking about with the 10 to 15% drop-off is not a transition to providing supplementary information via the Internet, which is all that we're doing. What they're talking about is actually having people fill out their ballots online. In other words, switching to an online form. In other words, the transition to Internet voting is not what we're doing. We're only doing 50% of it or less this year. All that we're doing is providing supplementary information. A ballot handbook is being made available via the Internet. We are not asking people to participate in online voting, and in fact, this is not online voting. Online voting is where you fill out a ballot on a computer screen, so I think we just need to be clear about that. In other words, statistics about transitions to electronic voting do not apply, because that's not what we're doing. And I'll take an answer about the section of the bylaws that was quoted.
Okay.
Can I respond?
Well, let me see if anybody else wants to first, and then we'll give you another last chance. Anybody else want to say anything?
This is Renee Bowser.
Yeah, Renee.
Very quickly, it's not exactly the same thing, but I think there's an analogy, because when you change a method and you insert something new, in this case, you're making an extra step. In the case of doing electronic balloting, you're using the Internet. When you didn't, you had a paper ballot come to you. So you have to really take an extra step by going on the Internet. I think it's analogous to that. You're right, it's not the same thing, but there's certain things that are analogous, because you're adding an extra step. Rather than having all the information there right in front of me as it comes into the mail, I then have to call and wait again to get some additional information. So you're putting in an extra step. So, yes, it's not totally on all fours, but I think there's a point to be made from what he said.
Bill?
Yes.
This is Russell.
Who's that? Russell?
Russell?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Russell.
I'd like to propose an amendment to the to Ken's motion. My amendment would be as follows. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws in Article 4, Section 2B, state that each candidate has the right to the distribution of their 500-word statement along with the written ballot, be it hereby resolved that a candidate statement booklet shall accompany each ballot except where a written snail mail or email or fax request declining a booklet has been received by the appropriate election supervisor. This written request shall be retained for the same period as the ballots of the election. I'll send it around to everybody.
Okay. I'm not sure that changes the meaning that much, but...
It just makes explicit. The motivation is just that there be a record and that this be kept track of and that, you know, these things aren't done by phone requests that take up people's time and money as well. I mean, we don't want to... I don't think the point is to engender... expenses that are unnecessary. It's just to make sure that things are done fairly and in accordance with the bylaws and in the best interests of the election being being pulled off fairly and you know, meaningfully. Okay, so I'll send that to everybody.
Okay. Could you read it again? After you do that, could you read it again so everybody that's not at their computer could have the language clear?
Yes.
And while you're doing that, anybody else want to comment on this proposed amendment by Russell?
I think the amendment is good in that it, this is Ken, the amendment's good in that it cites the part of the bylaws that guarantees the distribution of the candidate statements. And it's just more wordy. I was trying to be very, what's the word, laconic, simple,
succinct,
so that it could be understood, send out the candidate.
Okay.
But in that, it's a statement of what it says in the bylaws. I would support that. And I support I support everything he said about it. So I consider it a friendly amendment, even though it's wordier.
Definitely. It's definitely not intended to override anything in Ken's original motion. It's just a little wordier, and it's to guarantee that a paper trail exists.
I would accept the friendly amendment. I don't know if that precludes us from getting a vote, but without objection, I would accept it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
I'll just comment. I think, you know, it's fine to clarify the meaning of the main motion. I don't think it changes that much. It's just that if we're going to do this, you essentially might as well just say, well, just make sure we send all the printed information to everybody because it wouldn't save significant costs to, in fact, it might complicate things more to exclude a certain percentage of people who have opted out, maybe. I don't know.
Would you like me to read
something?
It again,
there's
Bill?
Other reasons for doing that because it does lead to get more support, a new form of voting. It's not an issue of whether or not we ought to... we vote on the internet or anything like that. It's an issue of the will of the body.
Okay.
And progression of our listeners to new methods without shocking them.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with allowing people to opt out by sending an email.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Yeah, Russell, read it again, please.
Okay. It goes like this. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws in Article 4, Section 2B, state that each candidate has the right to the distribution of their 500-word statement, quote, along with the written ballot, unquote, be it hereby resolved that a candidate statement booklet shall accompany each ballot except where a written snail mail or email or fax request declining a booklet has been received by the appropriate election supervisor. Said request, written request, shall be retained for the same period as the ballots of the election.
Okay. Are there any objections to the amendment?
May I comment, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Fred?
For
consideration of the committee. A lot of this comes down to dollars and cents, and I'm sympathetic to a whole lot of things that Russell says, including this, but it may well be that the amendment as written, allowing for objections, might introduce more costs. Mass mailings are relatively expensive. Labor could be more pricey than the savings. So in all of this, I would just love to find a way to condition some of our decision here in favor of the opt-in or the opt-out, as stated by Russell and Ken, on hearing from Arlene within a given period of time, and if information that she brings forward convinces us to the contrary, we'll have the opportunity to consider it.
Okay.
Manager, can I say something?
Yeah, Manager, go ahead.
I really think that we may get a lot of people opting out who are, have access to computer and are willing to do so if they are going to not only send email to everybody but announce it a few times on the air that this is being out, and in order to save money, to save paperwork, paper and all of that, we need to do that. And I believe that many people who are connected to Pacifica, they're environmentally conscious as well, and they would that automatically. But for those people who don't have it, they don't have access for whatever reason, they don't want it, they can get the ballot, the paper ballot. But it is need to be done ahead of time so people know about this, so they can opt out. And opting out would be very quick and fast, and if people have emails, they would do it.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on the amendment?
We have 3 minutes, 9 seconds.
Okay.
The amendment? Can I move that we accept the amendment without objection?
Yeah, is there any objection to the amendment?
Sorry. Yes, I'm objecting.
Okay. Well, can we go ahead and vote on the amendment then, please?
Okay. Voting on the amendment?
Yes.
And
can we read the amendment itself so we know exactly word for word what we're reading?
Well, just for expediency, could you read it one more time, Russell?
Sure.
Whereas the Pacifica bylaws in Article 4, Section 2B, state that each candidate has the right to the distribution of their 500-word statement, quote, along with the written ballot, unquote, be it hereby resolved that a candidate statement booklet shall accompany each ballot, except where a written snail mail, email, or faxed request signing a booklet has been received by the appropriate election supervisor. Said request shall be retained for the same period as the ballots of the election.
Okay, now the vote. Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
Anthony Fett. Ken Aaron. Yes. Fred Klunder.
I'll pass momentarily.
Okay. Bill Crozier.
No.
Leslie Bethune.
Yes.
Melinda Doan.
No.
Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. Renee Bowser.
Yes.
Okay. Peter Tucker.
No.
Okay. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Okay, Russell Dale.
Yes.
Okay, and Manasha Saba.
Yes.
Okay, and Fred Klunder, you passed.
I'll vote no, Ken.
You'll vote no? Okay, the motion
yes,
passed.
Please.
So the amendment
okay.
is accepted.
All right, can we go ahead and vote on the amended motion then, please?
Why we would vote on it once we've approved this amendment. It's a redundancy to vote on it again.
No, you need to vote on the main motion, too. I mean, it's amended now. But
I think
somebody could vote for the amendment and vote against the motion if they wanted to. But all right, can we go ahead and vote on the amended motion then, please?
Please.
Okay, go ahead and call the roll then, Ken.
I will in a second. Just 1 second.
Okay. Give me a moment for the happy topic. Okay. My system here. Okay. Here we go. Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
Okay. Anthony Fest. Anthony Fest. Oh, Ken Aaron, yes. Fred Klunder.
I'll pass, Ken.
Okay. Bill Crozier.
No.
Okay. Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Okay. Melinda Doan.
No.
Okay. One second. I got to fix something here. Okay, Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, Renee Bowser.
Yes.
Okay, Peter Tucker.
No.
Okay, Alex.
Yes.
Okay, Russell Dale.
Yes.
Okay, Menage Saba.
Yes.
Okay, and Fred Klunder.
I'm going to abstain, Ken. Thank you.
I didn't hear that. Abstain?
I said I'll abstain. Yes, please.
All right, and do we have Anthony Fest? Okay, the motion passed.
Can you announce the vote count? I'm sorry, I just...
The vote count was 7
yes, 4-0-1
abstained.
Okay.
What was it, 7-4-1?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the amendment, it was 6-5, no abstentions.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, we're almost out of time, but, and we do...
I would have called for the chair to notify in writing the NES and the executive director of this motion being passed by the PNB.
Okay.
By the PNB.
That's by the committee.
By the committee?
Yeah. And I just wanted to, I will tell Tracy the section of the bylaws I was quoting was 7, section... 8, paragraph B.
8B?
Okay.
Is that what you said? 8B? Okay, thanks.
8, 7, 8B. Distribution of ballots. Near the bottom.
Okay. And which article?
The article has been called...
Well, that's okay. I was looking at it earlier and I forgot where it is.
Well, maybe, I'm sorry. Article... Oh, that's my problem. It's got to go up and down here.
Sorry, say that again. Now I'm getting confused.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Article 3. It's Article 3. Members of the
phone. Okay, well, if it's Article 3, there's a problem, because what you read over the phone is not what Article 3 says.
Article 3, the section I'm reading says, it said, A says eligibility to vote, B says distribution of ballots. Section
yes.
A, voting. Voting by written ballot. That's the section.
Voting
by ballot.
Validity of written ballot?
Voting by written ballot.
There is no section that's called voting by written ballot. Oh, okay, Section 8. Now, which article are you in?
That's paragraph B.
Okay.
If you just search on the word internet.
Yeah, it's distributor otherwise make available. The balance shall be mailed or notice of... Yeah, no, Ken, you didn't really characterize this accurately. If you read it, it says, the foundation shall make reasonable efforts to distribute or otherwise make available one written ballot to each member. Members are getting written ballots. It doesn't...
Tracy, it's okay. We vote on it.
I'm just saying, it's not... it was not characterized.
I invite the members of the committee to search the bylaws using the word internet to find all the references. And I also invite the committee to try to vote by looking at the statements and coming up with ranked voting ballot. You know, you're going to look at the statements on the internet and decide who's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give it a try.
I think if you speak to Renee, she'll tell you that there's going to be a new format for the candidate statements prior to the 16th. I think you should ask her about that.
Uh-huh. Well, can't decide on...
Okay, well, I will be glad to pass along the... the motion. Okay.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
So are we out of
and
time?
Not quite, but
okay,
we have about
great.
10 minutes. Let me just, and we need to save a few minutes. So let me, can we skip ahead to the confirm next meeting date, and then we'll come back to bylaws amendments?
Sure.
Okay. Is any we had Tuesday, September 14th as our next meeting date. Are there any problems with that for anybody? Okay, not hearing any. Okay, so we'll go ahead and meet again on Tuesday, September 14th. Let's see, write this down here. Okay, on the proposed bylaws amendments, I don't think we have
I'm sorry, I was muted.
Them.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that is election day here. Are we going to start at the regular time at 8:30?
Probably, yeah. Did you have another suggestion?
Well, I'll be at the polls all day, but I just may have to miss it, so that's okay.
Okay, well, how late do the polls stay open on in Washington?
8 o'clock.
Okay. Well, you might be able to just be a little late.
Yeah.
Possible?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, well, anyway, the bylaws amendments, the proposed ones, I sent out, a week or two ago, some proposed ones, mostly having to do with elections, and a few of you and at least one or two other people sent some comments, tried to collect those, and didn't get a whole lot of comments. Most of them were favorable, but I sent those back out today. Anybody want to say anything? We'll probably can just have to continue this discussion by email, but anybody have any other comments on any of them? And if you're happening to be listening online, you can go to our Google group and read the text also. Just search for PNB underscore elections. That's the name of the Google group.
Okay.
All of you in the committee should have gotten the email this morning anyway. Well, it looks like from the PNB will probably be... the PNB did not... decided to wait on posting, collecting the proposed bylaws and posting them at the end of this last month. So they're going to do it probably near the end of this month. The reason for all this is, if you recall, the bylaws procedure, bylaws amendment procedure in the bylaws now requires that the PNB and at least three of the five stations approve any bylaws amendments within a single calendar month, and that all of them have to be done basically one time per year. You can, without, except for some exceptions, normally they all have to be done at one time in a year. So that's the reason for waiting till about the end of the month, so that they can be posted on the first of the next month for the 60-day period, so that LSBs and anybody else can see them, and then they'd be voted on 60 days after that, and we'd have essentially a whole month then to do that. Let me just run real quickly through them, just in case anybody's listening and doesn't have them in writing. First proposed one was to clarify the part about quorum for staff elections. It says in the bylaws in letters 1/3 and then in parentheses it says 1/4, implying that those are equal. So just to clarify which of those it would be. Ken suggested that it be 1/3 instead of 1/4. Anybody else have any comments on that? I'm not sure I care a lot as long as it's clear. Another one was about the nomination period. It says now that the nomination period will open on June 1st and remain open for 30 days, closing on July 1st, but that's actually 31 days. So I know that's caused a little confusion to some of the election supervisors, too. Ken suggested it be changed to 45 days.
Sounds good.
But I still prefer 30 or 31, and then the reason is that the next proposed bylaws amendment would be to give the NES flexibility on election date, so that every year we don't have to go through all this big, long discussion about whether we can change them and do the bylaws allow them and this sort of thing. Do people generally feel that the NES should have some flexibility about changing these dates?
Yes.
Especially when the election supervisor are hired late?
I've got to think over it some more.
Okay. Well, just if anybody has suggestions, you can send comments to the by email to everybody, and then we can massage them. Next one has to do with STV/IRV voting method with ties. There was a situation that was actually at my station a few years ago where this amendment only applies when you have instant runoff voting. And by the bylaws, that only applies when you have a single position. So generally that would mean a staff director position for the PNB. There might be some other cases, you know, for a local committee or something. But if there's only two people running and there's a tie in first choice votes, there's an ambiguity in the bylaws, or different people had different opinions about what it said, how the tie should be broken. And so the purpose of this was to clarify it. And I don't care a whole lot one way or the other as long as it's clear which way it is, because it created a lot of turmoil when this came up. And then there's another bylaws proposed amendment. Let me see. On I'm thumbing through pages here. I printed them out. Eliminating duplicate section and article headings. Some versions of the bylaws have some of the headings duplicated. I know that's been edited out on some of them, but there's still some around that don't. I don't know if we really need a bylaws amendment for that, but I've seen supposedly official versions of the bylaws that have, you know, these basically typographical kind of errors or editing errors. And I believe that was all that I had.
Phil, can I make a statement about it?
Yes.
I want to encourage the members to take a look at the Google group and look at these amendments. I myself really tried to avoid it and didn't want to be burdened with all this gobbledygook legalistic speech. However, if you can participate, take a look at it and push towards simple instruction, because if it's complex, it's going to give us problems in the future. So my prejudice is to go towards bylaws which are simple, easy to understand, and easy to implement. That's much more as important as what they're trying to accomplish, is that they can and will be followed. So I really would invite participation, because these bylaws will be coming back to us to get approved at the LSBs. So if you can contribute towards forming them, your participation in approving them will be a much more pleasant experience.
Yes, thank you, Ken. And I think you had a good comment and suggestion on the one about the instant runoff voting one.
Oh,
man. Make it simpler. Any other comments quick? We were kind of running out of time. Or if anybody else has any proposed amendments on anything, this is the time to bring them up. So the easiest way to get them approved is, if they don't involve voting rights of members, it's too late for that this year, because they would have to be approved on these ballots. The ballots are going out. But if they don't involve voting rights, the easiest way is to get six directors to endorse them or sign on to them, and then they get posted for 60 days, as I was mentioning earlier, and then they go to the PNB, and three of the five stations have to approve them, as well as the PNB.
Okay, before you return, I'd like to review the action items, which is Renee will send you the up-to-date materials that she intends to mail out, and you will forward them to the committee. And people will participate in reviewing the proposed bylaws amendments.
Yes, thank you.
And was there another action item that Russell Dale was going to send around?
Oh, right. Russell Dale will distribute, right. Russell will distribute the candidate statement in question.
Yeah, but I think that I'm not sure who just said that other thing. Was referring to another motion that I wanted to put on the agenda, but I got I brought it up too late to do that. So maybe we can do it for next.
Yeah.
No, but these are the things we already decided in the meeting. We're about to adjourn, but Renee will send the materials to the chair, who will distribute them to the committee. The committee will participate in the amendments. Russell will send out the candidate statement in question, which he feels is being inappropriately censored by the NES. And I think there was, and the chair will...
send the approved motion.
What was that? Oh, you were going to notify the NES and ED of our motion.
and the NES.
And the NES
was going to check on the bylaws in regard to eligibility to run after you've termed out.
Very good.
The NES was going to check on the bylaws.
I got it. Of the eligibility of when people are termed out.
Right.
Okay, you got all that, Ken?
Got it.
Okay, anything else? We left out anybody? I appreciate it. And remember, I encourage everybody to review the minutes as soon as you get them from Ken while they're fresh on your mind, and appreciate Ken getting the details out and written up and sent to us all promptly. You're very good at this.
You're right.
It's going to take a little bit longer this time because I mouthed off a lot.
Okay.
All right. So,
anything else?
Call for an adjournment.
Quick, anybody?
Second.
Okay. Any objections?
Thank you.
Hearing none.
Thank you all.
We're adjourned. We'll see you all next month.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I'll see you to the Finance Committee meeting tomorrow.
Right. Okay.
Not me, my God. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.